You have a call at no expense to you from
Robert Holcomb.
An inmate at GEO Corrections Western Region Detention Facility, San Diego. To accept this call, press 4-5. To refuse this call, hang up now. To block this call and all future calls, press. This call will be recorded and subject to monitoring at any time. Thank you for using IC Solutions. You may begin speaking now.
Hey, Robert.
Hi.
Hey, Julie. I wanted to, last night I was thinking about a few different topics in relationship to sharing with Barbara, and this is all level 3 political. I kind of wanted to, if we kind of look at those levels that I had come up with of contract law in kind of a little bit different venue, the American people are level 5. They instituted their version or tribal customs known as common law. Level 5 is political. And then 4 is a mixed political, meaning many different political factions or tribes, so to speak, are being represented in level 4 because of the way the statutes, the regulations, the policies are. And then level 3, commercial, is the socialist common law. Communist fascism, whatever you want to say, it's the socialist common law. Mm. They've chosen commercial law as their common law. And so a common law in a country is whatever the courts are doing. And so these courts are doing socialist common law. It's what they're practicing in essence, and they call it commercial law, and they've mixed everything together. So with that in mind, I have 3 items. I remember it as VOC, venue, oath of allegiance, and common law.
What's the first one?
Venue.
Okay.
Venue, oath of allegiance,
yeah.
Common law.
Yeah.
All right, so various common laws. Common laws, like I said, are the customs of the tribe. So you could have Sharia law, which is the common law of particular Islamic groups. You could have the law of those that are following Freemasonry, the common law for them. Same thing for the American Bar Association. The Indians on their reservations, they have their own version of common law. So common law is very simply the customs of the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep that in mind. And that's what we're really dealing with, is it's basically the customs of the American people have been subverted by the customs of socialists.
Correct.
And whether we want to say this is a violation of the Geneva Convention, Geneva Convention didn't go into place until, I believe, World War II. Maybe it was there prior to. But so many of the communist, or I should say socialistic, common law changes took place prior to World War II. So, did they really come in and change the customs of the American people, or did they just put the final nail in the coffin, so to speak?
Yeah.
Okay, so I still say that the DOD manual, the Department of Defense Law of War manual, tells us about an unoccupied or an undeclared occupying power and what they are and what they aren't supposed to do. And Q is very clear that this was being violated. So I'm assuming that those at the highest levels see that our American people common law has been subverted and tampered with. So, by sharing that with Barbara, if she stays in the lane of the American people tribe, now we come to venue. Simplest venue is my child does something that he shouldn't do at the neighbor's house. The neighbor cannot hold court judgment and deliver an execution of that judgment. Now, what the neighbor does is he brings the child back to his proper venue, my house, and files his complaint with me. Now, I take it from there. So, if an Indian who's subject to tribal, something tribal-wise, he'll be found in his, should be in his own tribal courts. I think there's been a lot of overlay because what happens, okay, well, so let me just continue on some venue. So another one, churches have their own venue, church law.
Mm-hmm.
And you're over in France, it has its own venue. But if you're not part of those venues, you are to, they can file all the complaints they want and send you back to your proper venue for the complaint to be heard. Okay, that's supposed to be the whole point of a jury of your peers. Your peers are your tribe.
Correct.
Okay. So, let's lead us to the Oath of Allegiance. The Oath of Allegiance, there is no Oath of Allegiance for the American people. Why? Because they are under an Oath of Allegiance to Jesus Christ automatically as property of their Creator. They're one of the few people in the world that recognize the Creator as their master. They come out of the womb under allegiance to their Creator. So you won't find an allegiance to be an American people. Now, you will find an allegiance when you become a government citizen. If you read that nationality clause, those people have to revoke all prior allegiances before becoming a U.S. citizen.
Right, I read that.
Okay. Now, let's compare this to what's in the Constitution. When you go to take office in the Constitution, you are not pledging allegiance to the government. You are simply adding to the American people oath of duties. The Constitution is still the energy of the American people, but the people who serve in those offices are under an oath that's not an oath of allegiance, but an oath to complete the duties for the benefit of the American people. So they're not serving two masters, they're serving the same master, themselves and the balance of the American people.
Mm-hmm.
All under allegiance to Jesus Christ. Now, the title of nobility is a completely different animal. There is where we have allegiance. That title of nobility is that person is under oath to complete his duties for the Constitution. Congress can approve this title of nobility, but I will bet you when you get into it, that individual does not take an allegiance to that group, or it's a delayed allegiance, meaning until he leaves office, that allegiance doesn't really kick in.
Office of a bar association member?
Correct. I mean, no. I'm saying the way that it reads in the Constitution is that they're supposed to come in under allegiance to Jesus Christ as a of the tribe of the American people. And they're taking an oath of duty to serve as a trustee in the public sector government.
I see.
Now, if they were to take a title of nobility, I'm assuming that the oath of allegiance, if required, would not kick in until after they left office.
Why?
Because you can't serve two masters. See, if they're going to take an oath of allegiance to the British Crown to get a title, aren't they, in essence, really revoking their allegiance to Jesus Christ?
Oh, yeah.
If they ever have one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Same thing. They want to take on the title of American Bar Association or Attorney at Law while they're in office. So, what I'm saying is that if they are, so another way to look at allegiance, if they are under allegiance to the American Bar Association, which I wonder what that oath is.
Secret.
If it's truly, okay, so if it's secret, then our assumption is that it's in allegiance to another tribe, not the American people tribe.
Correct.
But an allegiance outside. So it doesn't even matter if it's linked back up to Britain. Doesn't matter if it's linked back up to Freemasonry. Doesn't matter if it's linked up to the Vatican. It does not matter. If it's an allegiance to a group and it has a secret allegiance or oath, then it's assumed that they're no longer in the American people tribe.
So what you're saying is if they take the allegiance to the American Bar Association or wherever that goes, then they are clean. They have a clean slate to come in and do the oath of office in the government because they've already rejected their relationship to Jesus Christ.
Right, they've already rejected the relationship to the American people. So because they're not within the tribe, they can't serve in the government.
I have to think about that one. I don't know how that would... What you mean? That gives them the right to go in and work in government?
No. I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood. No, when they take the oath to the American Bar Association,
yeah,
they've pledged a new allegiance.
Yes.
I bet that oath is that they revoke all prior allegiances.
Oh.
In order,
like the Nationality Act.
Exactly. It's exactly the same thing. Yeah. They revoked all prior allegiances.
Yeah.
And now they're under allegiance to the American Bar Association.
Yeah.
Which automatically makes it so they cannot be in the American people tribe who are under allegiance to Jesus Christ.
Okay, yeah, I get that. Yeah, I would see that.
And if you're not part of the American people tribe, I'm not talking about U.S. citizen tribe. I'm talking about the American people tribe.
Yeah.
Which are probably very few of us today. If you're not part of the American people tribe, which is the venue, that's the venue that Barbara wants to pull me back, into. She's saying, he's not part of that U.S. citizen tribe. He's not part of that American Bar Association tribe. He's part of the American, and I guess what you could call, using the words of the Tribunal Supreme Court, the American Sovereign People tribe.
Yeah, she has talked about that, being that that California has a unique constitution that has that in it, allowing the people to hold their own court.
Mm-hmm. Well,
do you know that one?
Yes, but what I'm saying is that the people don't have to be allowed to hold their own court. They hold their own court. Remember, any constitution is the American people giving a public sector duties to complete. But if that public sector doesn't do those duties correctly, the American people can do whatever they need.
So I can do it in Rhode Island, and then they can do it in Massachusetts. And
exactly. Think about how the colonial governments were dismantled.
Yeah.
The colonists set up committees of safety, which were their version of state legislatures, and then let it grow from there. Basically, they're basically saying, well, those are all the king's stuff. The king's not doing his job. So they set up their own. We don't have to set up our own. Everywhere we walk is our own. We are a court of equity everywhere we go.
I see.
A court of law is where the customs are.
I see.
Well, every court of law in this country today is no longer part of the American people tribe.
Yeah.
They're part of the Bar Association tribe.
Exactly.
So why are we in their courts? That is the wrong venue.
Yeah, well, we've never been taught how to operate in equity as our own people.
We create our own court in equity.
Yeah.
And we implement our own customs.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
We have that power from the beginning. It's never changed. We don't need somebody else's license to do so.
Right.
We're the ones that granted license.
That's right.
And those particular courts that were under license to us chose to go and be under a different license called the APA.
Yeah.
They're a tribal court. Yeah. Let's just call them what they are. And that tribe ultimately is, I think, worldwide, we can call that tribe United Nations.
Yes.
A one world government.
Yeah.
With a one world currency.
Yeah.
With a one world custom.
Yeah.
Called commercial law.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beast. So pull ourselves out of the beast into the proper venue with the proper tribe, with the proper common law or customs.
Okay, I see.
And Barbara knows this. She knows
yes.
that to be an American is under oath to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she knows this, yep. She asked me the same question. She says, are you Catholic? And I said, no. She says, well, then you're okay in my mind because now you're a Christian. And that's what the Constitution was derived from, the Christian and the Bible, being a Christian and the Bible. Not an American Bar Association tribe, like you say. It was for the people, we the people, for the people, by the people. And that means that we all have that power to give to the government in a limited way.
It is because of our energy it exists.
Exactly.
It exists to serve us. And the reason why she uses the term Catholic is because that is someone who has pledged their allegiance to the cardinals and the Pope.
Right, the Father. You have there's an intermediary between you and Jesus and you and God. The Father.
That's right.
The Father. And I said, yeah, well, I'm...
But you'll find the same thing in the Presbyterians, the Baptists, all sorts of places.
Oh, yeah.
When people have a church membership in which there's an allegiance or an oath of allegiance stake.
That's right.
A lot of times there isn't. But sometimes there is, and people don't... They don't, Christ said, don't take oaths. Telling what he was saying was in regards to testimony. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. But don't take oaths, that you can swear upon yourself. So he was talking about a different type of oath. But the oaths of allegiance, I'm sure I don't know if he ever addressed it or not. He addressed oaths in testimony. But not necessarily oaths of allegiance.
Who?
Maybe he did. Christ.
Oh.
Yes, he did. He did. Well, he said, you cannot serve two masters.
Right.
So he did. He right there acknowledges you can only be under one allegiance. So bottom line, in order for me to be processed in these courts over here, I had to be under allegiance to the government.
Right.
There's no record of that.
No. So it's presumed.
Correct.
Okay, I got some questions about your notes that we recorded yesterday. I think that you should change that to the crimes that your court committed against you, rather than the big picture about the Constitution and the acts that you cited and the cases you cited. It should be specific to Robert Holcomb's crimes committed against Robert Holcomb by that court and that judge and that prosecutor. They all committed crimes against you to bring you into that court from the very beginning.
To put down a historical reallegiance that the hijacking of the American people tribe.
Okay, so yeah. Then I would suggest then we add that as a memorandum to the original noting the crimes that the court did against you.
Oh yeah, it was just that's good. Yeah, you're talking about those two separate things.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, I just wanted to find out if we're on the same page about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand. I agree with you.
Okay.
One, if the intent was to do the historical aspect, explain the groundwork as to why they did what they did over there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Well, now, now you need to do one, the crimes they did against you. I have a whole list. I got 25 pages of crimes and case law. Most of it's from the state of Illinois, but it's still their Supreme Court law in there that shows all the crimes of the courts.
I don't think I'm the wherewithal of time here to put that together any better than you guys can, because you can probably confuse what was going on pretty easily.
Well, that's what I plan on doing, and I haven't talked to Tim or Barbara about this, but when I transcribed that today, I was realizing that this is not what they did to you. This is what they did when they hijacked the Constitution, et cetera. So, yeah, right, exactly. So I sent Tim that 25-page report, and he said, yeah, that's the kitchen sink. So now we got to pick the ones that they did against you and write one up and then have you review it.
The point of that was to deal with the provost marshal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That the provost marshal would become aware of historically what the hijacking was and why the court systems are unconstitutional. Meaning the provost marshal is constitutional, and it is their job to right the wrong.
Yeah.
Now, what you're talking about is going deeper into a particular case.
Yes.
As Nick's friend saying, okay, here is an example of what's taken place.
Exactly.
That we need you to investigate. Here's the history on this affidavit.
There you go.
Here's the details on this other affidavit.
There you go. There you go. That's my philosophy as well. That's what I think we should be doing. I think you're correct.
And all of that is level four. That's level four. That's politics. That's where the hybrid of all the different tribes are kind of intermingled right now. Or I should say, let's just call it the two tribes. You have the American People tribe and you have the APA tribe. Those are the two tribes that are operating or fighting politically at level four. And that's what the affidavits are all about.
Okay, there's some of those notes that you made on the recording. I couldn't understand. It was either garbled or over talk. There was some interference from outside on the call, especially when you asked, you know, has anybody got to say something to say? It was something that came from somewhere else that interfered. And I didn't get some of the names of the case law and some of the other things. Do you want to do a call on that and straighten me out, or do you want to just, I've tried to figure out a lot of it out, but I can't get all of it.
Okay, well, one, the particular Supreme Court case that they called themselves tribunal was from 1989, and I remember the first name was Finley, F-I-N-L-E-Y.
I think I got that one.
Okay. Then there was one from 1851 and 1852, which I actually found in that Pirates Manual.
Yeah, I got that one.
Okay. So there was two of those. There was one was Jackson or something like that, and the other one was, I can't remember what that other one was. If you know where these garbles are, if you tell me what you have around it, I can probably remember it.
I know you can. Do you want to do it now or a different call? I'm pulling it up right now.
And Tim is right. It is the kitchen sink. I figured you guys would pare it down.
Yeah, we can do that, especially since I guess Tim has more of the history of your first encounter than I do, and Barbara might even have more than me. Because, you know, I came I came into the picture after the fact.
Oh yeah.
Wouldn't you know it?
But I think Barbara is absolutely correct that the political level four is a menu. Long menu. And beyond that, you know, if you talk about those two documents that aren't there, and those are menu documents, why go? If the venue's not correct, why go further?
Exactly. We got them to stop right there.
That's right.
That's a crime. That's a crime on their lap.
Well, it's kidnapping.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see if I can go this way.
I'm just glad to have you guys around me. It's encouraging just because of the fact that if you get to a place like this and you are just so deprived of any input of any value.
Have they got a law library there? Okay, we got this question is, it starts out with, do you think that affidavit attached to a sweet and short cover letter to the provost marshal would be a, and I couldn't get that word.
Say that again, please.
Okay, do you think that an affidavit attached to a sweet and short cover letter to the provost marshal would be a, okay, the next one is, I got question marks and highlights so I can get to them. Okay, I know from historical documentation that in AD 1933, somebody stated under oath of allegiance of two masters, and we need a citation for that.
Oh, Jesus is the one that said that you cannot serve two masters. And the citation I'm referring to is whichever gospel has him saying that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, I don't remember which one.
I can find that, but it's, they got a date, AD 1933. That doesn't have anything to do with the Bible.
No, 30 to 33. AD 30 to 33, because that's the time that Christ was walking there.
Okay, so I got that wrong. Okay, the Bible. Okay. Quote the Bible.
Christ was a master of simple illustrations.
Okay, now we got the 1215 Magna Carta required a judgment be made by your peers, i.e., the something under the same oath of allegiance.
So, basically, it's back to the tribe. Your peers are those under the same oath of allegiance. You know, from the Magna Carta, 1215, the Magna Carta, what is it, point 39 or something? Your peers. Your peers are your tribe. Meaning that they're part of the same allegiance. Their allegiance.
1 minute remaining.
Let me call you right back.
Okay, I'll be here.
All right, I'll call you right back.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.